Chapter 15. The 12 years that followed that dismal period were the happiest in my life. I took care of young Catherine and watched her grow. She was such a little beauty that she seemed to bring sunshine into the house. Her eyes were dark like her mother's, but her skin was pale, and her hair was yellow and curling like the Lintons. She was lively but not rough. A very affectionate child, as her mother had been, but not really like her mother. Young Catherine could be soft and mild as a dove. She had a gentle voice and a pensive expression. Her anger was never furious, her love never fierce. For the first 12 years of her life, she lived at Thrushcross Grange, hardly ever leaving the grounds. She knew nothing of Heathcliff and Wuthering Heights. Sometimes she looked at the hills beyond the park and asked me what they were like and whether I had been there. She wanted very much to go beyond the gates of the park and wander on those hills with her little horse. However, her father did not want her to know about Heathcliff and Wuthering Heights. He told her she could go when she was older. That year, Isabella fell ill. She wrote to Edgar and asked him to come to her. She said that she was going to die and she wished to arrange everything for her son, Linton. She asked Edgar to take her son to live with us at Thrushcross Grange after she was dead. Edgar went to see her as soon as he received this letter. He told me to take good care of Catherine while he was gone and to make sure she did not leave the grounds of Thrushcross Grange. He was gone for 3 weeks. At first, Catherine played in the house, but then she got bored and asked if she could ride around the park on her pony. I let her go, and for several days she enjoyed herself wandering around the extensive grounds of Thrushcross Grange. One day, however, she was not back by tea time. I sent the servants to look for her, but she was nowhere to be found. In panic, I went to look for her myself. Clearly she had left the park. I remembered her questions about the hills and felt sure she had gone there, so I walked out of the park across the moor and up the hill as quickly as I could. When I came to Wuthering Heights, I saw a woman in the yard. She was the housekeeper.
"Hello," she said. "Are you looking for the little girl? Don't worry, she's safe in our sitting room."
"Is she with Mr. Heathcliff?" I asked.
"Oh, no," said she. "Mr. Heathcliff and Joseph are away. They won't be back until late. Come in."
I followed her into the sitting room and there by the fire was Catherine, sitting in her mother's old chair, talking to Hareton. They looked up when I came in and I noticed that they both had the first Catherine's dark eyes.
"Come on, Miss Cathy, we're going home," I said.
"Oh, not yet, Nelly. I want to stay here a little longer," replied Cathy.
"If you knew whose house this was, you would be glad to leave," I said.
"It's your father's house, isn't it?"
said Cathy, turning to Hareton. He blushed red and did not reply.
"Or is it your master's house? I see now. You are a servant. Well, then, you should get my horse and I will go home. You should have told me you were a servant."
"Damn you! I'm not a servant!"
cried Hareton furiously.
"What? Nelly! Did you hear what he said to me? How dare he?"
"Well, miss," said the housekeeper, "you shouldn't tell him what to do. He is not a servant. He's your cousin."
"My cousin?"
exclaimed Cathy, staring at his long hair and dirty clothes.
"He can't be. My father has gone to get my cousin and bring him home to live with us."
"You have more than one cousin," I said, hurrying her out of the house. On the way home, I explained to her about Wuthering Heights. I told her that her father did not want her to know about it, and if he discovered that she had been there, he would be very angry with me. Cathy promised to say nothing to her father on the subject. After all, she was a sweet little girl. The next day, we received a letter saying that my master was coming home. Isabella was dead, and Edgar was bringing her son Linton home to live with us. Catherine was very excited. When the carriage arrived, she ran to meet it, eager to see her cousin. But her father stopped her and said,
"Now, Cathy, you must be very gentle and patient with Linton. He's not well, and he's very sad because his mother has just died. He won't be able to play with you yet."
Linton was carried into the house. He looked very much like Edgar, the same fair curly hair, slim figure, delicate features, and pale skin. But his expression was sickly and peevish, not at all like the open, honest, affectionate expression of Edgar's face. At first, Cathy sat by him, still and silent, but then she began to stroke his hair and kiss his cheek. He seemed to like this treatment and smiled at her weakly. That night, when the children were asleep, Joseph came to speak to my master.
"Heathcliff has sent me to get his son," said Joseph.
Edgar was silent for a minute. He wanted to obey Isabella's last wish and keep the boy at Thrushcross Grange, but Heathcliff was the boy's father.
"Tell Mr. Heathcliff that his son shall come to Wuthering Heights tomorrow,"
said Edgar.
"He is asleep in bed now. He is not in good health. And tell him that the boy's mother wished him to live here with me."
"Heathcliff doesn't care about what the mother wished,"
said Joseph.
"He wants the boy, and he wants him now."
"Not tonight,"
said Edgar. He took the old man by the arm and led him to the door. As the door closed behind him, Joseph cried out,
"Heathcliff will come himself tomorrow. You won't dare to throw him out."
Early the next morning, my master told me to take the boy to Wuthering Heights. Cathy was still in bed when we left. On the way, Linton asked me many questions about his father.
"Why did my mother never tell me about him? Why did he not live with us, as other fathers do? Why did he never come to see us?"
I answered these questions as briefly as possible, trying to calm the boy. When we got to Wuthering Heights, Heathcliff, Joseph and Hareton came out to greet us. They all stared at Linton with curiosity.
"Good Lord,"
said Heathcliff.
"Look at him. He is certainly his mother's son. There's none of me in him. Look how pale and thin and sickly he is. But never mind, he is mine, and he is the heir of Thrushcross Grange. It will give me great satisfaction to see my son the master of that house. You need not worry about him, Nelly. I will take good care of him. I wouldn't want him to die before he is master of Thrushcross Grange. I have hired a tutor for him, and I have told Hareton to obey him. I will raise him as a fine gentleman. It is a pity that he is such a weak, miserable creature, but he will be master even so."
As I rode back alone to Thrushcross Grange, I felt sorry for the boy. But at least, I thought, Heathcliff's selfishness will make him treat the boy well.